don't even know if you could find something out about this company, yeah. if they're even, you know, in business anymore. If you could get anything from them as to. This is, you probably have one of these. It's that's the more modern version of the drive.
I
you would
see.
Have a motor up here driving that big shaft, and then the cleats I was telling you about, where your V cleats, you had to cut them on the table saw. They're nailed to the drum. That's what those belts are running in. It's like turns this into a big pulley.
Yeah. And this is an advertisement?
Yes.
For Larrabee and Hastin. Where did this come out of? It was like a...
There was something they...
V-belt.
Yeah. They had a partnership probably at one time with the belt company.
Let's see. Neat.
This is a picture of just before we closed up, probably a couple of years before we closed the shop. That's a tanning drum I made. Well, we made it, and I brought that up to Haverhill. That drum eventually went to Haiti on a container ship. But the gears I was telling you that are on the side of the drum, there's some of them right there. We used to store them on the side of the building.
Mm.
Not too many people used them at that time anymore. That's why we had a bunch of them.
Mm. When you guys closed, what happened to any of your surplus stuff?
It went to an auction. Very few of our things were bought up by any tanneries. They really didn't want what we had. They wanted what we made.
Sure. They weren't going to make it themselves.
Yeah. There's a that would go with the mm-hmm. wheelbarrow collection, the different angles of them. That's another one of the...
Without the guys.
Now, this is a tank I had made for the tannery in Haiti. This is a cooking tank, what they ended up using it for. It's like a hot tub. That's, you know, pretty much a hot tub size.
Yeah.
That was 4 feet in diameter, about 4 feet high. That was made out of pine, cut in Rowley, and we milled it up and made a tank out of it. They would put the fleshings from the machine in there and put it in. There's a steam coil would go on the bottom, and they would heat and cook the fleshings. And after they cooked the fleshings, they were feeding the pigs the cooked fleshings. They were mixing it with their feed. He had I don't have pictures, I'll have to dig them up, of the factory in Haiti, but he had across from his paddle tubs, he had a cement blocked house made, a pig pen made, and they were stored. They were keeping pigs in there, and they were feeding the pigs the fleshings mixed with hay or grass and some feed. And they were raising the pigs, and he would slaughter a pig, and they would give them to the Haitians. It was kind of a treat. It was a big treat for them.
Mm-hmm.
There was like bonus time. It was like, whoa, we're gonna get a pig. All right.
And this is the inside of Larrabee and Hingston.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much taken where that other photograph was taken with a big tank.
Mm-hmm.
That's taken heading the other direction.
Okay.
That's our back door. There was light panels over the back. Our back door was two sliding doors that slid and opened up to 14 feet wide.
Uh-huh.
So we could get...
Like a barn door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. This is the story of leather. This is from the Ohio Leather Company. And it has great photographs in there with the process, an explanation of how, you know, the leather and what its use, how it's made into garment leather or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes you right from the beginning stages of the factory to where the leather is comes out to the finish end, where it's trucked away to the customer.
Hmm.
Now, keep in mind, that's Ohio, so that's, you know, but it's still, there's your, you know, that's your average leather worker there.
Yeah.
Whether it's Peabody or Ohio, that's the equipment. The equipment is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
if not this, the machinery is probably